I've titled this message, The Process of Dating. The Process of Dating. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. It says, in everything you do, I want you to be free from the concern of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man can't do that so well. He has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman more devoted to the Lord, in the same way, hallelujah, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be more devoted to the Lord in body and in spirit, while the married woman must be concerned about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Praise the Lord. Now, what I'm going to be trying to do this evening is to make you understand the purpose of dating and how dating should lead to marriage and why God tells a single lady not to be distracted, or the single man not to be distracted as a single. Praise the Lord. Now, in the heart of most singles, the question people have in their heart is, when will I get married? When will this right person come? When will God bring this man? And all they say to themselves, can this be the man? Can this be the woman? So every time they go for a program, Lord, that must be the man. No. That must be the woman. And everything that a single woman or man thinks about is that special man or that special woman and this wonderful marriage. When will I get married? And when will God bring that special person? Are you with me? But the problem is, when you think that way, that's a guarantee that you might not have a good marriage. Because your very foundation is wrong. Praise the Lord. Now, as a single person, my focus must be on finding God, knowing God, and pleasing God. The Bible says, as a single person, I should not be distracted. And my concern in life as a single should be, how can I please God? How can I know this God? And how can I be that man or woman that God wants me to be? Praise the Lord. In other words, God is saying, if I'm going to find love, or if I'm going to give love, I must first find love. In other words, God is saying, if I'm going to find the right person, I must first be concerned about being the right person. Praise the Lord. Now, let me give you somebody's definition of true love. Hallelujah. Now, somebody said, when you're walking in true love is Christ-centered. Infatuation is people-centered or each other-centered. Praise the Lord. Now, if all I think about is how to find a man, are you listening to me? I will not know how to love. I must first of all find God. I must first of all be God-centered, because the Bible says in 1 John 4:7, God is love. When I become God-centered, all right, then God will lead me to the right person. And when I find the right person, all right, then I can give that right person God, not myself. True love is being able to treat somebody else like God. And if God doesn't change my heart, all right, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. What I will give that person will be self. And self, soulish love, kills, it does not build. Now, let's put it this way. One of the ways I can describe soulish love and the power of soulish love is a love that a mother has for her child. Now, we know the strong love that every mother has for her child. But do you know some women have killed their children? Do you know some women have abused their children mentally, physically, and even some sexually? Some women have controlled and manipulated their children to do what is wrong. So what we call soulish love, no matter how deep it is, can never be true love. Because it's always based on self. Now, when I'm self-centered, I'm focused on my way, my will. It's all about me. And you see, if I'm self-centered, I will not be focused on pleasing God. And so when I marry you, it's not going to be about what's good for you, what I'm supposed to do for you. It's going to be about what makes me happy, what I feel like doing. And a person that does what he feels like doing can never do what is right. The man that killed somebody felt like killing at that time. The man that stole felt like stealing. Are you listening to me? The woman that stole somebody else's wife felt a strong urge to take the man. So when it's about self, when self is on the throne of my life, I can never be a blessing to somebody. You listen to me. But when I've learned to be God-centered and I've learned how to find God, then I can give true love to people. Praise the Lord. Now, why would God tell me not to be distracted? I'll tell you why. A lot of singles have been distracted as a single person, and they have jumped into marriage with the wrong person, and they have jumped into marriage not being prepared. Let me explain what I mean by that. Praise the Lord. Now, take a case. I was listening to a young guy who shared his experience. And you know, he said something that got me thinking. You see, God always tells us to do what is right for us, for ourselves and for people. And every commandment of God is for our good. Now, you see, the thing is this. Your single life is your foundational life. Somebody said, if my marriage is not working, I can trace it back to my dating and my courtship. The principles that are on the philosophy of dating and courtship, or how I handle dating and courtship, all right, will tell me how my marriage will work. Or if my marriage isn't working, I can go back to the wrong steps I took in dating and courtship. In other words, my dating and courtship is quite fundamental to my marriage or having a good marriage. Now, if I date wrong and I cut wrong, I can't have a good marriage. Now, in my dating stage, I must understand that every decision I make is going to make me or break me. Okay, let's go into practicals. Here I am as a single person, and everything I'm thinking about is, who is that guy? Who is that woman? How can I find that special guy? How can I find that special woman? Now, my prayers would also be always about that. Every time I'm praying, it's not about God. It's not about what God wants for me. It's God, please help me find this man, find this woman. And at the end of the day, I'm serving man, not God. God doesn't sit on the throne of my life anymore. It's all about man. But let me put this for you. Let me put it this way for you. Before I get into the practicals, let me put it this way for you. If your life is all about finding a man or woman, you don't have a reason for living. You know why? Because people have found a man or woman that wasn't the one for them, number one, and destroyed their future. Do you know that your future is linked to who becomes the closest person to you? The man or woman that you marry will determine if you have a good future or a bad future, will determine if you succeed or you fail. Are you listening to me? Apart from that, what happens if the one you are dating dies? What happens if the one you are dating breaks your life, breaks your heart, so your life is broken? You have no more reason for living. And what happens? Now, we know that sometimes when people get married, one person dies before the other person. I mean, we've heard of so many wonderful, somebody was telling me about a couple in America. Got married for about 4 years. They were doing very well in their marriage. The guy was doing very well at work. The woman was doing very well at work. And they loved each other. One day, the guy was going to work, and a drunken driver drove into him. And that was the end of his life. Now, he lived for just 4 years. Now, if all you are living for is a human being, what happens when that human being goes to stand before God to account for his life? Because you see, even though you are married, you are still going to account for the life you lived. No matter how much you become one with a human being, when you die, you are not going to die at the same time. And even if you die at the same time, you will have to account for your life. He will have to account for his life. And if the only reason why you are living is another human being, then I don't know what you're living for. Because when you stand before God, I don't know what you'll have told God you lived your life for. It wasn't about God's will, about pleasing God, or finding your purpose. Now, your married partner is supposed to help you to fulfill your purpose. You listen to me. Your married partner is supposed to be there to help you to fulfill God's will for your life. Because one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. And together, you should be able to do God's will. Because if you are one, you can chase one. If you're two, you can chase 10. So spiritual power is increased 10,000 times when two of you are committed to doing God's work. But if your life is all about a man or a woman, what happens? A woman called me yesterday. She said, Pastor Bimbo, why did God do this to me? After 14 years of marriage, she said, I have not been happy. And she said, now my husband, because the husband left her, went abroad and went to remarry there. And she said, Pastor Bimbo, she said, I have 3 children. I did not complete my education because of my marriage. Now my husband has left me. She said, even before I got married to him, he had different dates. He had people he was dating. He was never faithful to me, but I thought he would change. Now, from the time I got married, it's been affair after affair. Now I have 3 children. He's left me. My parents are against me. I have no education. He's going to remarry. Why is God so unfair to me? And I said, it's not about God, honey. It's about the lack of knowledge. I said, that's what happens when we go outside God's will. I said, it's not about God, it's about the man that you chose. The man had issues in his life. The man had the disease on the inside. And that guy didn't walk on that disease and he found you and the disease destroyed you. And you had your disease on the inside too. Because you see, one of the ways you know if you are dependent on man is when your husband dies or somebody close to you is taken away. Let us see if you can still live on. Let us see if you're not broken into pieces. Let us see if there's a peace, there's a joy. One man said, he's told his wife, listen to me. I'm not your reason for living. I'm your wonderful reason for living. If I die today, you should still have a reason to live. You're a born-again Christian. You know God's will for your life. You should find out how to please God. And you should make sure you continue the journey. And you should make sure the children walk in the way of God. But when I become your reason for living, things will crash. But the truth of the matter is, as singles, it's a man that is our reason for living. All we think about is, when will this man come? When will this woman come? And our life is tied to that man. We're not even thinking about what God wants us to do anymore. I always tell people, what matters is not if you're single or married. It's, are you pleasing God? If God shall come knocking at your door, can you say, yes, I live my life for you? Now let's get to the practicals of not being distracted. You see, somebody said something, and she spoke about what Abraham Lincoln said. Then I'll tell you what Peter Daniel said. Now, Peter Daniel said, first of all, he said, a great deal of my early career was spent on doing attitudes and ethics which held me back. Most of my time today, Peter Daniel's a highly successful man. Most of my time today, I have spent counseling others concerning locked-in behavior traits which needs to be dismantled and replaced before success can be obtained. Now, you see, what most of us do not know is this. What will stop you from succeeding is the character traits in you, is the wrong behavior traits in you, is the wrong attitude in you that you have not dealt with. And you see, the thing is this. You can never... Let me put this to you. You can never get to where you want to go until you deal with all the things in you that will stop you. And the first thing that God does, when I become focused on God, when it's all about God's will, how can I serve you? How can I walk in my purpose? God will first of all have to deal with everything in me that will stop me from pleasing him. And everything in me that will stop me from pleasing him is everything in me that will stop me from succeeding, and it's everything in me that will stop me, all right, from walking with that God's will or finding that God's will. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. Now, this is what Abraham Lincoln said. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, if I'm given an 8-year assignment to cut down a tree, all right, I'm given an 8-year assignment to cut down a tree, I will spend the first 6 years sharpening the machets I will use to cut down that tree, and the remaining 2 years of cutting down the tree. You see, most of us want success. If you have 8 years of cutting down a tree, the one that will succeed will spend the first 6 years to build the solid foundation. If you're going to cut down a tree, if I spend the first 6 years trying to sharpen the axe or the machet I will use, by the time I put the machet to the tree, 1 second, Jesus spent 30 years to prepare and 3 years to finish the assignment. But most of us are so much in a hurry. When? How? Who? Mini, mini, mani, mo, this is God's will. Hallelujah. Everybody are saying, whoa, whoa. But let me tell you something. Let me show you the scriptures. Open your Bibles quickly. I want someone to read it for me. And you're going to see why God is always right. Now, can somebody read Proverbs 26 for me?
Most men will proclaim each his own goodness.
Most men will proclaim each his own goodness.
But who can find a faithful man?
Who can find what? Now, listen to me. You can't find a faithful man. Only God can. Because you don't know what lies ahead of your future. Let me tell you something. Do you know, like I said last week, you can have a good will and it's not God's will. Let me put it this way. Do you know, I have met a lot of people that their spouse died some 10 years after marriage. You see, let me tell you something. Some people will look at the person and say, this is the one for me. That person might not have long life. God knows those he has called to people that don't have long life, who will be able to continue, yet they will be in God's will. But if you go ahead to pick a person that God didn't say is yours, you are putting yourself in a situation you won't be able to handle in the future. Every human being has an assignment, and God knows the future of everybody. You might find a person who is short and slim and looks like no going nowhere can be the next president. You look at him and say, this one, never. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Yeah, that is the one that has everything. You've seen very short people becoming president, heads of state, handling, becoming stinkingly rich. And then you see a very tall, lanky, and the guy is going nowhere to happen. Or vice versa. But what I'm trying to tell you is, who can find a faith? Listen, some people are just there for you in times of when things are good. But when you are finding a husband or wife, you are finding someone that will be committed to you in thick and in thin. You don't know the challenges that is coming in your future. You don't know. And when you are picking that person, do you know when God said Saul, you'll be the next king? You know how God describes Saul? A goodly man. That means all he has is just the contents. Container. Nothing in the contents. When he every other man, David, Solomon, and all the other people, that he talked about their hearts. But for Saul, he said he's just a goodly man. Just looks good on the outside. And God knew that Saul would not succeed as king. Are you listening to me? Who can find a faithful man? God knows who your man is. And you're going to learn to walk with God. It's not about many, many man anymore. This looks good and all that. Okay, it could be a good man. Is it the God man for you? Is it the man? Is she the woman? And you need to walk with God. When you build a strong relationship with God, he'll speak to you. But if all you are looking at is chasing man, how will I find this? You can't find when you have not, first of all, had a strong relationship with God. Look at this next scripture. Proverbs 19:14. What does it say?
Houses and riches.
Houses and riches.
And inheritance from fathers.
Inheritance from fathers. Your father can give you houses and riches. Let's go.
But a prudent wife is from the Lord.
But a prudent wife is from who? Listen to me. Your father, your mother can give you houses and riches. But when it comes to a wife, it's only God that gives you a prudent wife. It's only God that will give you a prudent wife. In other words, it was not Eve. It was not Adam that found Eve. God brought Eve to Adam. Your father can give you the houses and riches, but the wife, a wife material, is brought to you from God. While you are busy chasing God's affair, while you are busy finding out how to please him, how to walk with him, developing your relationship with him, serving in church, letting your mentors work on you, God brings the woman across your path. But you're not saying, mini, mini, mani, mo, this must be the woman. And everything, why am I waiting? Listen, there's a waiting time. There is a waiting time. And God knows the time for everybody. Your purpose as a single is not to find a life partner, it's to find God and to please him. Because the Bible says by the time you get married, you're going to be distracted. Now you see, the thing is this. As a single person, if you are distracted from knowing God, from serving God, and from doing things God's way, by the time you get married, you won't have a time anymore. You have more responsibilities. You say, well, when I get married, I have a time. No, 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 no. When you get married, you have no time. Because now you have to focus on your husband or your wife, on your children. It's all about man. You have less time. And so the things you did not do as a single, you won't have time to do anymore. You get what I'm trying to say? And you are living for God, not for marriage. Most of us are trying to hop out of our single stage, and we have not even fulfilled what God wants us to do as a single. Let me tell you another reason why you need to focus on God. You see, the thing is this. Most of us don't know what dating is. When I want a date, dating is a process that leads me to the one I want to marry. I do not start a date any man or woman unless I believe that this is the one that God wants me to marry. A lot of people date for pleasure and fun. Well, let's just have a boyfriend. Let's just have a girlfriend and let's have fun. No. You are about to break your life and break your heart. I'll explain to you. You see, what happens is this. Number one, the one that spends time jumping from one man to the other, one woman to the other, is wasting time. Number one. You see, when you start jumping from one man or the other and just wasting time, and you are not going out with the person you believe is God's will for your life, you do not build relationships that last. Or, put it this way, every human being, apart from your husband or your wife, needs relationships. You need friends that in future you can call on, you can rely on. You need friends that you can call intimate friends of the opposite sex or of the same sex, that when you're in trouble, you can say, oh, I need you to pray for me, I need you to stand by me, or I want you to do something for me. Do you understand? Now, what happens is, when you waste all your time jumping from one relationship to the other, you don't build any strong relationship. Because all the people that you date with will break your heart and go. And so it's not a relationship. I guess what I'm trying to say. And what happens is, dating, if it does not end in marriage, will end in breakup. And breakup is a very painful experience. Apart from somebody will waste your time, it's also a painful experience. Now, waste your time, number one. You don't build any solid relationship. In future, you have nobody you call my close friend. Because everybody you have spent energy and time with broke up with you and left. Number two, you are so disfocused in life. The one that you are dating, you spend so much time with. You don't read your books. You don't have time to read your book. You don't have time to pursue your career. You don't have time for achievement in life. Now, Pastor said something that got me thinking. He said, those that get into fornication or adultery, all right, lose creativity in life. When you are focused on just dating and jumping from one man to the other, one woman to the other, you lose constructive thinking ability, because you're always thinking about the lady, where we'll go out together, what I'll buy for her. All your emotions are lady, 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 man, man, man. So you have no time for constructive thinking ability. You lose energy and passion to pursue personal dreams and goals. You lose imagination and direction for the future. You lose the power to develop your talent and your gifts. You lose, interest. You have no interest in your career and personal development. You are easily distracted. You have a myopic view of life. You are easily engulfed in things that will not last, in shallow things. You have poor judgment leading to failure in business or career choices. Praise the Lord. In other words, you lose time doing nothing. Yet, this person that you are dating leaves. You know what you lose as well? You lose your money. A lot of guys that will have spent money, saving, money you have given to God and his work, money you have used for your future, you keep spending on one girl after one birthday. You must buy birthday gifts, you must take her out on dates and everything, you must do the Christmas one, and you are investing in a person that lives. And there you are, with all that you have done, the person still lives. You know what happens? Everyone that breaks your heart takes a piece of your heart. If you have had 14 breakups, 14 pieces of your heart has gone. I have not gone to the hurt yet. Let me explain what I mean by that. You know, you see, when you are dating somebody, apart from the fact that your energy is spent the wrong way and you're investing the wrong thing, you become emotionally bonded to the person. You talk to the person. You discuss secret things that only the person you should marry should know. You share a part of your life, your dreams, your goals. You talk about things that is part of you. And some people don't only get mentally bonded or physically bonded. Mentally or spiritually bonded. No, we talk about how you can be spiritually bonded. You are praying together. Praying every day together. You are talking on the phone every minute. To now worsen it, some people now sleep with the person. You open your heart. You open your life. He sees everything. She sees everything that is meant for one person, husband or wife. And you know what happens? After all that, the person goes. So you know what happens? When he goes, you have memories. Memories, you see, you are hurt because a part of you has gone. Memories of the wrong things you did together. Memories of the good times you had together. You held each other's hands. You looked into each other's faces. You kissed. You slept together. But you see, it's so painful because this, what I did was meant for a person I would marry. And it takes that part of me away. And it's gone forever. And then you feel a kind of hurt that nobody can ever explain. You don't lose all that. You are so damaged. People will say to you, I don't know if I can ever date again. I don't know if I can ever. My heart is broken. Your heart is actually broken. Because it's as if you took two plywood gummed together that were not supposed to be gummed together. And what sex before marriage does is it cements you in a serious way. And even if you are just bonded spiritually and mentally, you are still glued. And by the time the man goes, what happens? There's a tearing. There's a breaking. Imagine if you have dated 14 times and none of the dates worked. 14 pieces of your heart has gone. And by the time you now meet the one who you were supposed to date, you are no more whole. You have been broken everywhere. One has gone to Ogun State, a part of you. One has gone to Kaduna. One has gone to London. Another one has gone to Italy. And you are broken everywhere. Yet you've lost so much. You've lost your money. You've lost your time. You've lost your career. And even by the time you find this so-called God's will, because you have not taken time to prepare yourself, you destroy the person. The person destroys you. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So we see when God says, be focused on God. Now listen to me. Dating is supposed to be a process. And life is a process. Everything that will succeed must go through a process. Now you must understand the levels of relationship. You have four different levels of relationship. Acquaintance, somebody who you call an acquaintance. Then you have a casual friend, you have a close friend, and you have an intimate friend. When you start dating, now, you see, what I would really please tell people to do is, you see, when you have learned to walk with God, when you have learned to be rooted in Christ, when you have learned to develop a strong relationship with God, there's a way God speaks to you. Let me tell you something. It's always nice to know how God speaks to you. And when it comes to your marriage, it's the same way God will speak to you. You see, I look back at my relationship with my husband, and I had to face the fact that the reason I have a good marriage today was because I did things the right way. Before I met my husband, I had met about 2-3 guys that I liked, and I thought they were God's will for my life. But the Lord told me, that's not the ones I have for you. And I now see the reason why they're not the ones. Because the first one I liked, who I thought was Jim in Christ, was a man of God. Got married to a colleague of mine. He's divorced today. And he's married somebody else. And my colleague is heartbroken. You see, some of you are praying for a man. It's better for you to cry now than to cry for the rest of your life. You see? And I said to myself, if I had married this guy, I'll probably be there my friend who is a divorced lady today. Look at what I'm doing. But look at what I would have been. The second person I liked, he's not a pastor. He's a Christian, but he's not a pastor. He doesn't believe in going to church. But he believes he's a Christian, but doesn't go to church. He believes in the fellowship. You know, some people say you go to fellowship, don't go to church. Imagine if I was a wife of a man who doesn't go to church. Will I be doing all I'm doing today? And God told me, that's not the one for you. When my husband came along, all right, we just like by being friends. We're just friends. We'll come and check me and all that. I didn't even think he could be the one for me. Because I thought, well, he had just backslidden, had just come back, so I thought he wasn't as strong. You see, God knows the one that is strong. But one thing, you see, when the Lord told me, he said to me, I didn't ask, he just said to me, that is the man you're going to get married to. And he told my husband, that is your wife. While he was speaking to me, he was speaking to my husband. And we're both thinking, but God, how can it be? We both asked, you see, most of the time, the one that you meet and you are shaking all over is not the one. Love, you don't fall in love, you grow in love. I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying that it is possible for you, to marry a person you love. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, you see, you've got to understand that it's not the one that you are shaking all over for all the time that is the one that is your husband. There might be some that you are shaking all over for, and God will say, that's your husband. But there might be some that you might think this is not the one. But God says it's the one. And if God says it, you will see the fruits. Immediately, you start to get close. Because, you see, the next thing you're going to do is, because love is a process, you start with being acquaintance. You don't know him. And you must take a step at a time. Dating is a process. You can't meet a guy today and tomorrow you are kissing. What is his name? He's John. John what? I don't know. And you are in love. What love? That's shallowness. You meet a guy today and by tomorrow you are touching each other. And you're sleeping together. Honey, that is self. That is not God. That is self. That means both of you are people that will please yourself, not please God. And that's a pointer to the fact that you are not in love. It's just infatuation. You meet somebody today. I want to marry him. Okay, both of you, you have no job. You have not finished your education. You are saying, okay, mommy will take care, or daddy will put money in the, will buy the, pay money, pay for the accommodation, will put money in my car, and put, petrol, gas in the car, will take care. So, honey, that's infatuation. You're not being realistic. If you want to marry, you must be ready to handle marriage. You must be responsible enough to provide for the person you want to marry. Are you listening to me? So I can't meet you now. Instead of us to start the process of, that is going to lead us to marriage, we meet each other. 2 minutes. 5 months, we want to marry. What have you invested? Are you listening to me? But you see, when you meet the person you want to marry, sometimes you've known the person. So you are more than acquaintance. Are you listening to me? And you've become casual friends. I listen to what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, ideally, you go from the acquaintance stage to what? The casual friendship to close friendship and to intimate friends. If you're a casual person, there's some things I cannot discuss with you. There's some questions I can't ask you. I can't even correct you. Hey, listen to me. But by the time we move from casual friends to close friends, we can talk about everything. You can correct me. A person you're going out with, you can't correct. There's no love there. You can't tell him what you don't like. She can't tell you what she doesn't like. He or she cannot tell you when he or she feels you're making the wrong decision. That's not love. That's infatuation. You must have a honest appraisal of a person you want to call husband or wife. Oh, I feel something for her, but I don't like her values. I don't like her goals. I don't like her behavior traits. I break the relationship. Now, what am I saying? The ideal thing is this. You need to hear from God concerning who your life partner would be. And let me tell you something. Please, don't choose your life partner without people or without help. You can't make your choice of a life partner alone because emotions blindens you. You see blue, you call it green. A man who has a problem with so much problem with anger or violence, you don't see anything. Everybody sees the guy is a jerk, but you don't see anything. You see him as your angel. Because love, emotion has a way of beclouding you or blinding you. So the first help you need is God. God tells you this is the one, this is not the one. Number two, God gives you instructions of what you must do and what you must not do, and the values and the behavioral traits that the person must have. The compatibility. Are you spiritually compatible? Are you socially compatible? Are you mentally compatible in values and goals? Number two, before you start any serious relationship, what does your parents have to say about that person? You need their help. Don't start any serious dating that will lead to marriage without what your parents have to say. Daddy, mommy, what do you think about this person? Because they are there to lead and guide you. Most people don't want their pastors to know when they are dating. And you're just kidding. You're just stopping yourself from getting help from appropriate quarters. Before you start anything serious, lay before God. Lay before your pastors. Lay before your parents. Call men and women that always tell you the truth. Not the yes, yes people. Those that will tell you, no. Those that are prayerful. Who you know that have never given you an advice that has not worked. Lay before them. If you have all of them say, go ahead. Then you are ready to go. Then when you start to go, take it a step at a time and pray every step of the way. Immediately you get a danger signal, even if you feel it's God. Immediately you get a danger signal that things are not going on right, and you don't like this person's behavior or character, or you doubt his Christianity, break the relationship. Let me explain something to you. Two ladies over the weekend came to me. The one I told you about, she said to me, Pastor Mimbo, she said, for the 14 years I've been married, it's been hell. Because my husband has gone from one affair to the other. And you see, when I said, okay, let's go back. She said, but I know God spoke to me. I said, no. You thought he spoke to you. I said, let's go back, all right? Let's go back to your courtship time. But going back to her courtship, it was so obvious that the guy had various affairs before they married. And I said to her, that is a pointer that God didn't speak to you. Another lady came to see me. She even happens to be a pastor's wife. She has had 10 years of hell in her marriage. If I mean 10 years. For the first time, I heard a woman speak, and I didn't know what to say to her. I had to say to her, I think you should separate. So that, because there was a time in her marriage, she crashed. She had so much problems in her marriage, she crashed. And she was on bed for 2 years. She could not feed herself. She could not go to the toilet. She was so mentally drained that she crashed. And I said to her, listen, separation is not divorce. I said, to get yourself together, have 2 years to breathe, first of all. I said, separation is not sin. I said, go on. This guy, until he's ready to be accountable to his pastor, don't take him back. The worst that can happen, don't remarry. But you can't continue like this. And when we look back, she now told me, I said, okay, let's go back to your courtship. She said she heard God. But in between her courtship, she found out all the problems she had with this guy now, she saw it. Anger, violence. She broke the relationship. She said she now went to pray and she got a scripture. But you see, there's a way you interpret scriptures. The guy had not changed. He was still angry and violent. But she thought she heard God and she married. And for 10 years, she lived in hell. That wasn't God. By their fruit, you will know them. When it is God, you will see it. The more you move in, the more you are saying, Father, I thank you. You are seeing the character traits. You are seeing a man committed to God, a woman committed to God. You know what? One of the reasons why you don't rush into marriage? You need time to test. Time for you to be sure it's God. Number two, time for you to deepen your relationship with one another. Because even, listen, the fact that I'm going to be a man tomorrow doesn't mean I will not go through the process. The process of, first of all, being born, and then I have to, first of all, be carried before I crawl, before I walk, and go through the process. Do you understand? I can't say because it's God's will not court. You still have to get to know yourselves. You have to get to understand yourselves. And not only that, one of the things you also have to do is, both of you must walk in obedience to God. You are used to walking in obedience to God. She's used to walking in obedience to God. Now, both of you must be committed to things of God. You take time to get each other committed to doing what God said. And so, through all the trials and temptations, do what is wrong. You are both committed to the standards of God, and you are both saying, we're going to do this thing God's way, and if it is what God says in our mind, we'll do. And for 2, 3, 4 years, you are going against the temptation together, you are standing on God's word, you are committed to do things together, you are talking. You are building a solid relationship. But people say this, I have to marry now. Why? I want to have sex. What are you talking about? That means you have no self-control. And that, it's not about just having sex. Is this God? Have you worked on yourselves? Have you deepened your relationship together? Have you spoken about your goals, your values? Have you worked together? Have you allowed God to show you his will and to be sure it's God? I guess what I'm trying to say. But we can't do a long course because we want to marry. So people dive into marriage. And they now wonder why everything's crashing down. But they spend their single stage doing the wrong things. Now, you see, in the four levels of relationship, it's very important for you to know how, you see, if you're going to have a good relationship with the opposite sex, all right, you must understand the levels of relationship. Praise the Lord. Like I said, you have no reason dating a man or woman you don't think is your husband or wife. If I don't think you're my husband or my wife, I don't date you. But if I think you're my husband or wife and I find out later you are not, I still have to break it. Are you listening to me? But when I start thinking you're my husband or wife, it helps to curtail all the breakups. Are you listening to me? Now, if I don't know how to handle the levels of relationships, I can get into a lot of mess before I get married or even after I get married. No matter how holy you are, no matter how righteous you are, you do not pass the acquaintance and the casual level of relationship with the opposite sex. You never get close to the opposite sex. You never get intimate with the opposite sex unless the person is called husband or wife or the person you intend to marry. Immediately you get into close friendship and intimate friendship with the opposite sex, you start to bond. And before you know what, you're going to get into sex. The reason why a lot of married men and women are having problems with adultery and fornication is what I'm talking about. A married woman has no business going on lunch breaks with a man who is not her husband. Some women, their husbands don't have time for them. Their husbands don't meet their needs. So they have Mr. John in the office who listens to them, who talks to them, who encourages them. And during every lunch break, Mr. John and Mrs. Stella are having lunch together. They are speaking intimate things. You've started to bond. And that is why there's no husband or wife has any reason whatsoever to become close to anybody who is not called husband or wife. And the reason why even people that are canceling get into trouble is you see yourself bonding. Every day you are calling somebody of the opposite sex. Find the same sex to be close to. If you need to have, develop strong relationship, find the same somebody of the same sex. You must not cross the casual friendship with a person who is not of the opposite or the same sex with you. Once you cross the close, I say, oh, he's my friend. We're just very close. No, we're very close. He understands me. You see, I'm a lady that all my close friends are guys. You are getting into trouble very fast. And the devil knows exactly how to get you. Most people don't plan to fornicate or commit adultery, but they do that. If you understand that I never cross the casual, once I get to casual relationship with the opposite sex, that's where it stops, unless it's my husband or wife. Don't ever get to a close relationship or intimate relationship with the opposite sex unless it's one you want to marry. And please, people, even Christians, the devil has used it. Hey, it's my brother. I'm canceling. I'm praying. Please, don't cancel. Don't pray. Look for the person of the opposite sex and the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Another reason why you should not get into you shouldn't get into dating with a person you're not going to get married to is this. Every time you date somebody you don't intend to marry, you are being tried on. Do you hear what I said? Tell your neighbor you are being tried on. All right. You are being tried on if you fit emotionally, if you fit spiritually, if you fit mentally, or if you fit in values and goals. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Let's use shopping. I'm a woman. When you go shopping, where do they put valuable items? For example, you want to buy a very expensive wristwatch for $5,000, or let's say about 100,000 naira. Where will you find a wristwatch like that? Beautiful. You find that wristwatch in a place that is locked up under key and what? Under lock and key. Valuable things are not tried on like cheap things. The things that are not as valuable as some items are the ones that you just pick up the rack, you try it, you put it back. Somebody else comes, tries it, puts it back. Now what happens is, the more you try an item, the more you stretch it, the more you use it, the more it fades, and the more they sell it cheaper. After some time, that item will be sold. It could even get dirty. Because everybody has been trying it on. But there are some valuable items they won't even let you try. Look at it. Look at it. Don't touch it. Because this one is valuable. Do you get it? Praise the Lord. But if they are going to open up the valuable ones for you, the way they will open and they say, okay, quickly try it and put it back. Because when you are valuable and you are precious, they don't allow people to try on. Now listen to me closely. Every human being is precious to God. And you must understand, I don't care your background, I don't care what you have done, you are precious to God. You are valuable to God, and you must understand, the less you think of yourself, the more you will let everybody try you on. Every handsome man that comes your way, because you don't know how valuable you are, you allow them to try you. You see, you are shaking while they are trying you. They are touching. They are fitting. They are using. And they drop you. And you know, the more a person tries you and drops you, the less valuable you feel to yourself. And the less valuable everybody thinks you are. Because they say, oh, we have tried her. We have used her. We have dumped her. Oh, we've tried him. So the news spreads around. And people start to devalue you. And that is why, if you know you are valuable and you are, at least you must understand that you are precious. Go and read the Bible. Bible says you are the apple of his eyes. Even if your parents don't think you are precious, you are precious. And because you are precious, you can't allow everyone to try you and use you and stretch you and make you dirty and dump you. And that is why it's not everybody that is handsome or beautiful you open yourself to. You've got to carry yourself with value. And say, excuse me. Hallelujah. I know who I am. You can't just touch and try and drop and stretch and change every second. You don't do that. And that is why you need God to help you with your emotions. If not, your love will be on your sleeves. Everyone that comes, you are shaking. And they just keep trying you, dropping you. And before you know what, you are not hanging on the rack. Nobody wants to buy you. Or they are willing to buy you, but they want to pay cheap. A cheap price. Clearance. Say clearance sales. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. We are all precious. Let me tell you something. I don't know how much mistakes you've made. I don't know what you've done in the past. You are still very precious to God. And the blood of Jesus can wash you clean any minute. You can make up your mind today. That was my past. This will be my present. And this will be my future. From today, I'm going to be God's valuable gift. I'm going to let God cleanse me from all my sins. I'm going to start to do things God's way. My focus will be pleasing God, working with him, doing things God's way. And at the right time, God will bring my husband. Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above reproach. And let me tell you something. Every time God chooses for you, it's always too much for you. Because you don't know your value. You always pick something less than you when you're going to pick. But when God's going to pick for you, he knows your value. He knows how precious. You say, what? Can this be me? It is. Because the child of God deserves the best. And you are. Let's get up on our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Thank God because you are a precious child of God. Thank God because you are a valuable child of God.